Hey, people, listen up. It's a fucking lockdown right now.
Come off it. We're not in a prison drama, are we?
We are in a prison drama. This is the fucking Shawshank Redemption, right? But with more tunneling through shit, no fucking redemption.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Sheriff, this is no time to panic. This is the perfect time to panic.
It's not the end of the world.
I ain't going with it. I'll go with Child.
Hey, fuck you, Palmer!
I'm going with you!
Who says I want you going with me?
All right, cut the bullshit!
Has the whole world gone crazy?
Hey! Everybody calm the fuck down.
Good evening. Civilized towns, you look a man direct in the face when you talk to him.
This isn't comfortable.
Well, it's not supposed to be.
Here's a, situation. Serious.
Mrs. O'Dwyer was abducted.
She is my everything, and those savages have got her. God knows what they're doing to her. And every second that we delay.
You know who did this?
I don't have a name.
How many of them do you think there are?
It won't matter. You have no chance against any number of them.
I'm coming with you.
No, I need you here.
And this is what a backup's for, to help an emergency, not stay back. I'm coming.
We're making a 5-day journey in 3 days, riding along and sleeping the bare minimum.
I don't know what's west of here. No cattle trailer or anything else goes in that direction.
If our horses die before we get there, or we go into hostile territory, weak and foggy with exhaustion, we won't rescue anybody.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of Holmes Movies Recommends. My name is Anders Holmes. I'm joined by my brother Adam, who is on Zoom in America. So if just take that into consideration when you're listening to the episode. So if the audio feels weird, that's because we're recording this over Zoom.
Yeah, and I've been having internet issues, so, you know.
Yeah.
Well, anything could happen. Yeah. But that's the world we live in. How are you?
I'm good. I've been busy the last couple of weeks. I've been, like, this week I've been doing some sort of sound work for we worked with this theater group that was supposed to go to on Fyn, the island of Fyn, like where Odense is in Denmark. They were supposed to do some like improv exercises with another theater group, but because of COVID, that didn't happen. So we did some little film things where we filmed them where they improvised scenes. So the idea was like they're kids meeting for a study group, and basically they just made stuff up. So we did 3 little films of that. So I've been working just to kind of get the sound mix pretty good and things like that. And yeah, so it was good to have that in just to keep myself busy before I start my new job on Monday. With
what?
Well, because I did an internship, as you know, with Academic Books, and I just received word that I'm starting on Monday.
What? Fucking hell, that's great. You're going to work in a bookshop. It's like Black Books.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is great. Okay, fantastic. Well done, man. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, it was really nice. It really poked me up.
What's going to happen to the podcast now that you're in a bookshop?
Well, we'll still be putting it out there.
Okay, good. As long as, because all 5 of our listeners are going to really miss us if we go away.
I'll still make time for podcasting and everything else in between. But yeah.
Is it a full-time job?
We'll see.
So no.
No. Well, I think it'll be part-time.
Okay, great. Any job is better than no job.
No, I'm happy that I have something to keep me going. Like, just it's nice. I'm really looking forward to it because I enjoyed my little internship with them last November. So it's fun working at a bookshop. It's interesting. Never done it before.
It really is. Honestly, I did a summer job at a bookshop once. It's the best fun I've ever had. I've never achieved that level of satisfaction ever again, because when there's no customers, you just sit and read. It's great.
But anyway,
so what are you recommending today, apart from the career of bookselling?
Yeah, well, I'm a bit spoiled for choice because I've been watching a lot of films recently and a lot
of that doesn't sound like you.
Yeah, I know. If I could like turn my computer screen around, I could just show like all the piles of DVDs that I have to watch. And I've seen quite a lot of thrillers lately, like some sort of hardcore sort of like stuff.
Whoa, okay, leave that out, Andy. I think we'll we're not recommending porn.
No, I'm not recommending porn or anything, but no, I'm not doing that. But I am gonna recommend
erotic thrillers.
Not an erotic thriller.
What's that Brian De Palma one again with the
Dress to Kill?
Is that the one? No, the one which is basically like all about sex workers and getting. Is it the Driller Killer? Am I thinking of that?
No, that's no Driller Killer. That's an Abel Ferrara film. You're thinking of Dressed. No, that's not Dressed to Kill. Body Double.
Body Double. Yeah.
Which also has a drill moment where a woman gets killed. That's where.
That's right. So that's why I got confused.
Yeah, I actually did. Yeah, it's Melanie Griffith is in that film. But anyway, no, the film that I'm going to be recommending is a Western, a spooky Western. It's came out in 2015. And it's directed by...
I just hit my hand. Sorry.
What were you saying?
I just hit my hand. Sorry.
You hit your hand?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
I made an outie. Yeah.
The film I'm going to be talking about is written and directed by novelist S. Craig Zoller, who is also in a metal band. So he's done some things. He's quite a prolific screenwriter. Apparently he has... at least 20 screenplays circulating around Hollywood in various stages of development. And I think at one point one of his screenplays, which is also another Western, was actually going to be directed by old boy director Park Chan-wook, which I would really like to see that. And the film I'm going to be recommending, I am going to be talking about this film, but I am going to relate it to the other films that he's...
Say the name!
What?
Say the name!
Bone Tomahawk. That's the movie that I'm going to be recommending. But I am going to But I am going to be relating it a little bit to his other films that he's done, because I had like a bit of a marathon where I watched that and I really enjoyed Bone Tomahawk. I really, really liked it. And then I watched his other films, Brawl in Cell Block 99, which isn't as good, but it's okay, with Vince Vaughn. And then his big epic cop.
I mean, Trump supporting meathead Vince Vaughn.
Yeah. And his sort of right wing cop movie with Mel Gibson and Vince Vaughn, where they played two corrupt cops.
So you've really been like, hopefully not absorbing any of the ideology behind these people.
No, of course not. I do not agree with any of the views of the people. And I think the studio that actually produced these movies also recently did come under trouble because of some bad things that were happening on their set. And also one of the people involved with that studio was regarded as the Harvey Weinstein of independent cinema. So that's not good.
As in... not famously good at winning Oscars, but a man who essentially committed lots of sexual misdemeanors.
Pretty much, yeah.
I love the idea of Mel Gibson getting arrested that time where he called the cop sugar tits and just one of the policemen turning around to him being like, who is the dickhead now?
Freeze, dickhead. Come on down, it's been a hard day. So, Bone Tomahawk was a film that I've been meaning to watch for a really long time, mainly because I love Westerns and I love the horror genre and I was curious to check it out. It was his first film, and it takes place in a town called Bright Hope. The sheriff of the town is Kurt Russell, and he has a backup deputy called Chicory, played by Richard Jenkins. And in the town, there's not a lot of people around, because and I read a bit of the script. It sort of explained that everyone's off at some festival thing, yada yada yada. It's not really important.
Burning Man.
Yeah, something like that. You're also introduced to Patrick Wilson's character, who is married to a very young woman called who's played by an actress called Lily Simmons. She's the doctor's assistant. And in the saloon, there's a drunk man played by David Arquette, who they're like, oh, this guy's a stranger. And he was out in the woods by the cemetery burying something. And so they kind of talk to him and he starts a fight. They arrest him. And then Lily Simmons is brought over to the jailhouse to basically, tend to his wounds, because he did get shot in the foot by Kurt Russell. And what happens the next day is the bartender goes to the sheriff, and he's played by a great character actor called, Fred Millamed. Have you seen Fargo season 3?
No,
he's in that. He's a great character actor. He's also in one of the Coen Brothers films, Serious Man. I've probably got his name wrong, so I'll look it up later. So he comes to the sheriff's house and said, sorry to bother you, Sheriff, but I went to the stable to check on my horse, and the stable boy was dead, mutilated. And I went to go to the jailhouse to tell them what happened, but there was no one there. And then all they find is the doctor's assistant is missing, the other deputy that isn't Richard Jenkins is missing, and also the prisoner that they arrested is also missing. And all they find in the sheriff house is this very weird arrow. And they go to... And then, Kurt Russell is basically to Chicory, played by Richard Jenkins, as I said, he says, go get the professor and meet me at the saloon. And when they get to the...
This sounds amazing. I love the sound of this.
And they go to the saloon, and the professor is a Native American, you know, wearing a suit. And he's played by actor Zahn McLaren. So if anyone's seen Fargo season two, he's the...
Oh, is he the guy in that?
Yeah, he's the guy in that.
So cool.
Yeah, and he and Kurt Russell is basically like, do you know what this is? Do you know who this arrow belongs to? And he's like, yeah, I do. I have an idea.
Is this your homework, Larry?
Is this your homework? Where's the fucking money, you little brat? And things. And sorry. I'm going to cut your dick off.
You see what happens, Larry?
You see what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass? Sorry. So he's like,
we can't do this every time.
And he basically, you know, Kurt Russell is like, do you know where this tribe belongs to? And he says, like, this arrow doesn't belong to a tribe. And is like, what kind of a tribe doesn't even have a name? And he's like, well, what kind of a tribe doesn't have a name? Doesn't have one. These people are cave dwellers, and they're troglodytes. And he basically says, you know what, he describes them as people who would rape and eat their own mothers. And and Kurt Russell's like, do you know where they are? I have an idea. You're going to take us to them? I won't. Why? Because you're an Indian? No, because I don't want to get killed. And
are you just reciting the script?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, so how long have we got? I mean, I do have other things to do today.
Yeah, so it's Allah, the searchers. People have been captured. They go off. Kurt Russell, Patrick Wilson, Patrick Wilson plays the character Arthur, whose wife has been kidnapped. He has, you know, he's got a busted leg, so he's like riding a horse with a crutch. And then he goes with Chicory, played by Richard Jenkins, and also another character who's this very sort of this kind of dandy character played by Matthew Fox called Brooder, who has a little bit of he's a little bit interested in Patrick Wilson's wife. And there's one moment in the saloon, in the big saloon scene, where he's like, I'm the only person here that's ever actually killed Indians. And the professor's like, that's an ugly boast. It's not a boast, but a fact.
It sounds like it's got a real, like, Cormac McCarthy...
it is a bit Cormac McCarthy. It has a lot of... It's like a mix of a John Ford Western, a Howard Hawks Western. It's definitely... It has the vibe of a Sam Peckinpah Western, and it's mixed in with, like, the tone of books written by Stephen King, Jim Thompson, and, of course, Cormac McCarthy. And the writing... I mean, the writing is so good. I mean, you know, it's easy to compare S. Craig Zoller to someone like Tarantino, but I would compare the writing a little bit more towards David Milch, because it has that kind of poeticness to it.
And what about, it's supposed to be quite gory, this film, right?
Oh, yes. There's like one scene in the film. There's one particular scene in the film, which is just so graphic. And I've seen a lot of horror films with various different levels of gore, but this moment... Holy shit, I wanted to either vomit or faint or a little bit of both. It was quite like, ugh, and it's done practically, and it's
oh, is it like it's like the Thing level of like sort,
yeah,
of,
yeah, but it's just, it's the sounds and it's the, ugh, blood, what, and stuff, and it's just like,
I'm like dreading what this even is. Like, this is the kind of thing, I mean, I do really want to watch this film, but because I've heard about, I think someone described on a different podcast exactly the bit you're talking about. And
yeah.
I've heard about that, and I am frightened to watch this movie.
It's, yeah, it does go pretty graphic in the last like 30 minutes of the movie. But yeah, I mean, it's not like From Dusk Till Dawn, which it starts off like a crime film and then it turns into like a vampire film. And like, everything kind of fits really well together, and it also... You know, it fits well into the landscape has this very kind of infernal, dangerous quality to it. And like, the majority of the film is these four guys riding off, you know, trying to find these people and, you know, rescue their, you know, the townsfolk and things like that. So there's a really good, I mean, the one thing I will say about S. Craig Zoller, he does like his films on the long side. Like, this film just clocks in over 130 minutes. I didn't have much of a problem with the length. I think he's paced it out really well, and there's a lot of really great character, you know, interplay, like Brooder played by Richard Jenkins. No, sorry, Chicory played by Richard Jenkins. He just steals the whole film. He's such a like delightful presence. I would compare his relationship with Kurt Russell in the same way, like it's John Wayne and Walter Brennan from Rio Bravo. It's that kind of dynamic those two characters have.
Question for you.
Yes.
Should I watch this with, you know, my wife? My wife! you know, Lily. Should I watch this with Lily, or should she give this a miss?
She should probably give this a miss, yeah.
Oh, fuck. Okay, it's that bad. Okay.
Yeah, it's that bad. I mean, the first scene of the movie is a guy in a close-up getting his throat slit. That's how violent this movie is.
Okay.
And it's got some great dialogue. Like, one of my favorite lines in the movie is from Richard Jenkins when he says, "Mr. Bruder educated two Mexicans on the meaning of manifest destiny."
Jesus.
So, I mean...
I do feel like as a Western... expert. I don't know what you'd call me. Someone who's watched a lot of Westerns. If you do anything for 10,000 hours, you become an expert in it. And I've definitely done that with Westerns. I feel like I should watch it, but maybe under the right circumstances.
Yeah. I think you should if you feel like... I think it's one of those movies you kind of have to, like, prepare yourself for, given the sort of the nature of the film and the violence and stuff. But, you know, it's not
So you'd say this should come with quite a hefty content warning for people who are... worried about gore.
A little bit, yeah.
Body horror.
I think if you watch, I watched like all his three films in one go, spread over like 2 or 3 days, and a lot of his films do have quite like, he tends to push the boundaries of how much violence people can take, and there's also this kind of, particularly in Dragged Across Concrete, which is the cop film with Mel Gibson and Vince Vaughn, there is this kind of like reflective nature in the violence and how it, like, the world and how things are kind of shape the characters and things like that. And I think that's a really, really cool aspect of his movies, and this sort of ponderous feeling. And I mean, I feel like Bone Tomahawk is his best movie. I think the other two films, I prefer Dragged Across Concrete more than Brawl in Cell Block 99, because Brawl in Cell Block 99 is like a 90-minute grindhouse 70s film that's been stretched out into 2 hours, and it's not as tight as Bone Tomahawk is. And Dragged Across Concrete is entertaining, but it is a cop film with Mel Gibson and Vince Vaughn playing corrupt cops that's 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, this seems like it's asking a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna try and watch this at some point.
Yeah, you should definitely give it a watch. I think Kurt Russell's great, the cast is great, the writing's really good. It's good fun. It's a low-budget movie, $1.5 million, and the movie looks fantastic.
Wow. God, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
They did that. Well, cool. All right. Content warning for everyone out there.
Yes.
Be careful.
Yes.
It sounds like it's a pretty intense movie.
Yeah,
so.
Just be warned. This is a very violent movie and not for the squeamish.
Okay, then.
But anyways, so that's my recommendation, Bone Tomahawk, S. Craig Zoller film. Do check back next time to see what Adam will be recommending, which I'm really excited to know what that is.
Great. See you soon.
See you soon. Bye.
Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts,
which we are about to receive.
Ambush!